Our habit, we start the year out with a week of prayer in the Assemblies of God, and so that will actually start today, Sunday here today. We're going to be talking about prayer, and then I have assembled for you a prayer guide. So sometimes you'll be like, sometimes I just don't know what to pray for, or maybe you're in like some sort of a mental fog, the fog of life or whatever is on you. And so this, if you take this and put this in your Bible or put it wherever you pray, it will keep you busy. You're not going to have to worry about having to invent things to pray for. So this is suggestions for prayer for us as a church. There's prayers of repentance, prayers of thanksgiving, prayer for families, prayer for the church, prayer for America, and then also prayer for the world. And so one of the things we want to make sure we do as well is that we don't just get so focused on our little world that we're in that we forget that there's a big world around us. And so we want to be effective in praying for the world, right? And sometimes it's hard to look beyond the four walls of your house or the four walls of Lackawanna and Luzerne County, you know, but know that there's a big world out there where there's incredible needs happening around. And so we want to pray for them. And then finally, pray a prayer of blessing as well. So they're out in the foyer for you if you want to grab one of these. And it'll be a help to you as you look to pray, all right? And so as we start our week of prayer here, just so you know, we'll be having the Lord's Supper here in a little while, and then we'll also be praying at the end. So we'll be spending some time in prayer together, okay? So that will happen here today. And then, of course, tonight at Mill City, there's a corporate prayer meeting. Tomorrow morning, there's a minister's prayer meeting right here as well. And so our ministers will be meeting to pray. And so from our section, and so we'll be starting the week outright with that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, on the backside of your insert, there is a prayer guide for this week for you. And so what we're going to be looking at focusing on this week in our week of prayer is exploring the nature and the names of Jesus, exploring the nature and the names of Jesus. And so that's what we'll be at least, you know, kicking off prayer with in doing those things. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." And so the reality is that Jesus is the ultimate. He is the greatest. He is everything. He is all-powerful. He is the, you can't go beyond him. And so you say, well, isn't the Father greater than Jesus? No. Jesus, the Father, the Spirit, they're equal in their greatness. But Jesus is the one who is revealed to us. The Holy Spirit, of course, dwells in us, but it's hard to picture the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, like, when you try to picture the Holy Spirit, a lot of times people see the Holy Spirit as a dove. I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He's not a bird. All right? A dove is a, if you're going to fight a battle, the last thing you want is to have a dove by your side. You know, I had a dove for a number of years in my study at my house. Her name was Molly. She was a great companion, pet for me and everything. She was not my therapy pet, just so you know. But she was a great pet, and she passed away last year. She was like 17 years old. But a dove is very gentle, and I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is God as well. And so Jesus, though, is the ultimate. He's the ultimate. He's the greatest, right? And so we're going to look today at the supreme Jesus. Because he's supreme, he reigns over all creation. We want our lives to be submitted to him since he is supreme. And then tomorrow, you can go through it. Monday's the awesome Jesus. Tuesday's the beautiful Jesus. Wednesday's the human Jesus. Thursday, the divine Jesus. Friday, the preeminent Jesus. And Saturday, the incomparable Jesus. And so that'll be some of the themes that you can pray on this week as we pray together. And so just try to find some time to set aside for prayer through this week as we pray, start the year off praying together. So let's talk a little bit about prayer. And then again, like I said, at the end, we'll actually pray. How many of you have ever been to like a prayer breakfast? Like maybe to Mary's prayer breakfast, and they have a speaker that comes out and speaks and you eat and that's it. There's no prayer. You know, and so we're gonna talk about prayer, but more importantly than us talking about prayer, we're gonna actually pray. Does that sound good? And you're all gonna be taking part in that together. All right, and so just so you know, so if you're having like social anxiety, you want to work yourself up a little bit about that today, all right? And so we'll be able to pray together, all right? So let's talk about prayer. And prayer is nothing more than simply dialogue with God. So like, for instance, if I was walking with John here, and so John and I were going on a walk, and, you know, we're going to be on this walk for, maybe we went hiking together, let's say. And so we're going to be hiking for hours. We're going to converse as we're hiking, right? We're going to talk as we're hiking. And in fact, it would be sort of awkward if I had to say to John as we're walking, hey, John, can you excuse me? I'd like to say something to you. I mean, that would just be weird, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah, right. No, you can't. Yeah. I mean, when you're conversing with somebody, it's not like... You ever around people and maybe they're like, maybe it's a sign that you're talking too much and the person has to raise their hand. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in a conversation like that where you just want to just like raise your hand? Can I say something? When you converse with somebody, it's natural. It's a flow that takes place. Sometimes our conversations are awkward, but they're still conversations. And sometimes our conversations are one-sided. But the best conversations we have are conversations that happen as a give and take, as a flow back and forth, and as we converse and we share each other's thoughts or heart or whatever the case may be, right? And so prayer is really a conversation with God. It's what it's supposed to be. Now listen, I understand, like tonight we have a time of corporate prayer. And even this morning, before we finish, we'll get into groups and we'll pray. And so that's great and everything, but the majority of the prayer in our life is not corporate prayer. The majority of prayer in our lives is just conversation with God. It's talking to our Heavenly Father, talking to Jesus, talking to the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, who do we address? Address whoever you want to address. Yeah, you can talk to all three. You don't have to go like, oh, Jesus, I was just talking to your dad. And let me go over with you too. I mean, understand it. Listen, when you talk to God, they all hear you. All right? And so whatever works for you, just do it. Some people, you ever hear some people pray, they're always like, Father God, and I want to ask this Father God, and Father God. So if they want to talk to the Father, that's totally fine. And then others are like, they talk to Jesus. And then some people talk to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. God is God. And so just have that conversation. And so there's some scriptures here to talk about this idea of prayer. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Now, isn't it interesting? Peter's saying this in the first century. We're now in the 21st century. So let me just say this. If the end was near in the first century, is it more near or less near in the 21st? Right? So we're 2,000 years beyond Peter here, almost. And so if the end was near then, man, let me tell you what, we are in the crosshairs of the end right now, all right? And so, you know, I'm thankful for the songs that Pastor Heather picked this morning, as those songs were anticipating the return of Christ. We got to keep that in our focus, right? And so he says, therefore, because we're in this time, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Because listen, when you're not clear-minded, when your mind is clouded, maybe it's clouded by a chemical. Maybe it's clouded by, you know, the situations of life. And maybe you're not self-controlled. Maybe, you know, you're angry or you're whatever, and it's impossible to converse with God when you're in that state. Now, I understand a person who's a drunk can pray, but would you ask that drunk to pray for you? You know? I mean, we want to be sober and clear-minded so that we can pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray all the time. So how do we do that? I mean, do we always have to be on our knees? And I'm not against you having a prayer closet at home, But man, you can't live in it. You might want to sometimes because your house is a mess, but you've got to come out of the closet eventually, you know, from the prayer closet. And so how do we pray all the time? We pray all the time because the connection we have with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with God, is always there. The connection is always open. Any moment. Like when I have that opportunity to go and talk to the students in one class at Misericordia every semester, I'll talk to them about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, how the Holy Spirit, how we can pray in the Spirit and stuff like that. And once in a while, the students will ask, one of the students will raise their hand and say, well, can you pray in tongues right now? You know what the answer is? Of course I could. I mean, you understand it. Listen, our connection to God is always, it's always hot. We don't have to pick up the red line to talk to God. He's there. He's always with us. All we have to do is speak to him and he's there. You don't have to call him and set up an appointment. He is there. He's with us. And so we can pray continually, all the time, asking for what you need, praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. And that's where we get the bonus as Pentecostals to be able to pray in the Spirit. So yes, I can pray in tongues right now, but I tell the students I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to put it on display. It's not like a parlor trick. But I can pray in tongues right now, right? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have to have, like, the music doesn't have to be just right, and, like, the singer's actually on key, and you get those goosebumps coming up and down your spine, so maybe I can speak in tongues. No, you could do it any moment, right? It's available. It's there, all right? Never get tired, it says, of staying awake to pray for all the saints. Acts 1:14, by common consent, these devoted themselves to prayer. Deuteronomy 4:7, the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. And isn't it wonderful that we don't have to go into the temple anymore to go to the presence of God to pray? You are the temple. The presence of God is in you. And that's why you can pray at any given moment, anytime, it's there. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5, never stop praying, never damp the fire of the Spirit. And that one song we sang this morning, that new song we sang, man, we want the Spirit to burn in us. We want the fire to fall in us. We don't want to be dampened by the stuff of this world that so often does this. So let's get specific about prayer. So when we pray, and understand this, I know sometimes you're like, Pastor Dave, I really need you to pray for me. That's great. But listen, I want you to know the same Spirit of God that I have, you have. And you can pray too. You know, you don't have to ask somebody to pray for you. Yes, you can ask people to pray for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you yourself, you can pray. And you might say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, when you have a conversation with me, do you feel something? I mean, seriously? You know, when you're at work and, you know, like there's instructions from the, well, maybe you feel something then. When the boss tells you what to do. You know, but I mean, just because you don't feel something doesn't mean the prayer is not working and God doesn't hear it, you know? I guess maybe the better question to ask is, what does God feel when you pray? So in Hebrews 4, it says in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he didn't sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So know this, because Jesus is awesome, because he is who he is, he lived the perfect sinless life, and then he went to heaven and he literally took some of his blood and he put it on the altar in the throne room of heaven. And so because he's done this, because Christ has literally applied his blood onto the throne of heaven, and that blood was in our place, we can literally go into the throne room with confidence. I mean, there's so many places we go in this world, we go there, we don't have confidence when we go there. I mean, go to the White House today. Just walk right in. Talk to somebody. Guess what? You're not even going to get in. You know, go down to Harrisburg. Go into the Capitol building, whatever. Go in. You know, dial Mayor Cognetti. I mean, she might listen to you. It's very possible. She's very personable. You know, I mean, listen, we don't have confidence when we go, I mean, when we have to talk to people who are important. Or better yet, who's that preacher you love on TV? Just give him a buzz. Tell him you have a question for him. All right? Listen, we can't approach these people with confidence because we don't know them. And they don't know us. But Jesus has gone before us, and he's gone into heaven, and he's literally made the way for us so that when we pray, we can literally enter into the throne room of God with confidence. We can know that God hears us when we pray. We understand this. It's not because of us. It's not because of how good you are. It's because of how awesome Jesus is. He's made the way for you to be able to pray. And when you pray, you have the ear of God. He's listening. And Jesus is right there. It says he's interceding for us. And so he's going to the Father. He's like, hey, listen, you know, hey, Glenn is praying. Listen what Glenn is praying. He's pouring his heart out. Listen, let's send an angel on to him. Let's send the Spirit down. Listen, God is willing to hear our prayers and to answer them. And it's because of what Jesus has done. Now we go on, and it says, sometimes we have to go through progression in prayer. God doesn't always just give us what we ask for immediately, right? So there's a progression, and so Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For each one who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it shall be opened. I mean, sometimes asking is all you got to do. Sometimes it takes a seeking on our part. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. You got to follow after Christ. You got to pursue him. You got to be persistent with your prayer, right? And then there are times when we have to knock, you know? And then sometimes you got to really knock. You know, have you ever been there with God? You know, how many of you have ever been to a person's house and you know they're in there, but you're knocking and they're not coming to the door? Right? You ever been there? So, and I've knocked on many people's doors and, you know, sometimes they came, sometimes they didn't. Now, it ends up with me. If I know they're in there and I'm supposed to be there, I'm going to try to find another way in. All right? And so, and some of you, I've come to your house and knocked on your door, right? A number of you, I've knocked on your doors. And some of you were surprised, right? Bobby, remember that time I caught you, right? On the couch at Diane Ross's house, right? And I had a camera, right, Chris? Yep. With the video camera. How many of you like me to come with that at your house, right? Someday. Never know. It may happen. But sometimes you've got to continue to knock, you know? And you know, knocking is frustrating, isn't it? You know, like, God, why aren't you answering? Listen, he hears you. If he's not answering, it's for a reason, you know? But don't worry, he hears you. You're not out of his mind. In 1 John, we're told that, verse 13, chapter 5, I write these things to you, believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And so it's important when you ask of God to sort of look at what you're asking and make sure it's lining up with his will. You know, through the years, there's been some really sort of sick doctrine that's been promoted, you know, and one is, hey, listen, you ask and God's going to give it to you. No, that's not, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that when you pray in the will of God, God's will is done. I mean, he loves us to quote his word to him when we pray. You know, he loves to fulfill the promises in his word. And so, you know, how many of you have prayed for things and God didn't answer, and then a week, a month, a year later, 10 years later, you're thanking God for not answering that prayer? Like the old country song was, you know, I thank God for unanswered prayer. You know, I mean, it's true, because there are times when we're like really asking God for something so bad. We need it so bad. God, don't you know we need this so bad? And he's up in heaven saying, oh, just be quiet. That's terrible. That's not what you need. That's actually bad for you, right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us everything we ask him for? You know? But when we pray in the will of God, boy, it's amazing how he moves on our behalf and what he does. All right? And so we know that he hears us, and we can do that. In John chapter 16, we're told that our prayer can lead us. It leads us to fullness of joy. Jesus says, before now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And we have a good heavenly Father, our brother Jesus, the Spirit who dwells in us. They want to give us good gifts. They want our joy to be full. In Romans chapter 6, we have this incredible power as well. As Pentecostals, we get to pray Spirit-empowered prayers. Verse 26 of chapter 8 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Wow, what a beautiful picture that is of the fact that, listen, we don't just have to pray on our own. We pray, the Holy Spirit prays through us when we pray in the Spirit. You know, when we pray in the Spirit and when we pray in the understanding, as we pray in the will of God, the Spirit of God is moving. He's pushing that prayer forward for us. And there are times when sometimes the most profound prayers that I've ever said in my entire life, I don't know what I actually prayed, because I prayed in the Spirit, you know? Because the will of God, the Spirit of God is always going to pray the will of God in your life. And so it's there for us. Also, we know that prayer is a weapon. In Ephesians 6, you know, that whole passage there, as it talks about the full armor of God, you know, to be strong in the Lord, it says, and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And listen, in 2022, I'm not making a prediction, but I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be times in 2022 when you're going to feel like your enemy is your brother or your sister. And I want you to remember, they are not your enemy. Your enemy is the enemy. The enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He's the enemy. Those spiritual forces, your brother or your sister, are not the enemy. And so remember that as we pray. We got to pull on the full armor of God. So, you know, we know the pieces of that. The belt of truth, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These are the weapons God has given us. And then everything is pulled together. Everything is energized by prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. And again, once again, it tells us, listen, you've got to pray for each other. So take stock and, like, what are you praying about? Like, if you were to take your prayer and to, you know, to journal it, if you were to take your prayer and if you were to make bullet points from it, are all the bullet points all about you? If it's all about you, you're praying improperly. We've got to pray for each other too. We've got to ask the Lord to bless each other. We've got to go before the Lord with the needs of each other as well. We need to pray for the Lord's people. And don't forget, listen, don't forget the Lord's people is not just the people in this room here. The Lord's people is all around the world. You know, and so, listen, we don't, you know, we haven't heard much in our media about the persecution of Christians all around the world. And it's happening so badly. In Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, our brothers and sisters are fighting for their lives. In Asia today, so many Christians persecuted. In China, the eyes of the world will be on China in just a few weeks. Terrible, terrible persecution of Christians. Yes, the Muslims are persecuted too, but our brothers and sisters are Christians. They're being persecuted. You know, listen, we need to pray for them. We need to lift them up, as well as our brothers and sisters right here They need our prayers. So maybe pray for them, you know? And then Paul says, hey, listen, pray for me too. Anytime you guys want to pray for your pastor, I appreciate it. You know, because I need it, without a question. In Matthew 9, Jesus tells us as well, we need to pray for the harvest. I mean, listen, you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not have the harvest in mind. You know, this is so important. And we live in a time, man, our world is so far from God. It really is. The heart of the Father is still reaching out. The heart of Jesus is still beating for the world. The heart of the Holy Spirit still goes out and draws people to Christ. And so may we pray for the Lord of the harvest. Jesus said that. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. It's not just going on a missions trip. That's not it. That's part of it, but that's not it. It's we need laborers out there regularly taking the word, doing the works and doing that and understanding that. Also, we pray when people are sick. In James 5, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So, you know, excuse me. In all actuality, sometimes you need someone to pray for you for your sins to be forgiven. I mean, that's what it actually says there. Sometimes you got to confess to your brother or sister and ask them to pray for you so you can be forgiven. Wow, that's pretty powerful. You know? Make that your life concept. And then, you know, we pray, we anoint with oil, you know? And so we believe in anointing with oil. Probably more times than not, I prayed for sick people with no oil, just so you know. Because I want you to understand there's no power in the oil. You always know, I shouldn't say this, you always know when someone's getting on the crazy train. Seriously. Listen, if you come to me and tell me that God has given you a special formula for this oil, you've departed on the crazy train. Because there is no power in the oil. I mean, you can tell me that you went to Israel and you got special spices from Sister Benedictine and she squashed those special spices with her feet, bare feet, up on the top of, you know, the Mount of Olives or on the Sea of Galilee or something. It, you know, and maybe it's got some special water mixed in there from the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized or the Sea of Galilee where he walked on the water. Listen, you're on the crazy train. There's no power in those things. All right? And so we don't need the oil to pray, but sometimes you got to humble yourself and come forward and have somebody anoint you with oil for you to be able to be healed. I remember one time I was at a Christian music festival, and I was there, and I was struggling with something physical in my body. And so there was this worship leader that was there, and he great worship leader. And he said, we're going to pray for people. So I'm going to pray for people if you want to come forward. And so this is my moment. And go forward. And as I'm coming forward, like there's, 50 people, just like Frank coming forward. Oh, thanks, Frank. Oh, that's awesome, man. You know, we believe in oil and water. So right now I'm going to do the water. And so there's like 50 people up at the altar, you know, and so this guy is praying. Oh, that's good. This guy's praying, and so like I'm a big guy, and so I can see him, and so I'm positioning myself for him to pray for me, and as I move forward, he moves over there. And I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, I wanted him to pray for me. Well, you know, somebody else steps up, some no-name person, I don't know who this person is, I mean, who are they? They're going to pray for me. And so this young man, you know, he's not that guy. And he says, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah. you know? And so he had this little greasy anointing thing like Pastor Gail used to always have, right? I have one in my briefcase there. And he puts that on my forehead and prays, and the Lord touched me. You know, I mean, sometimes you gotta humble yourself to get healed too. You know, so yeah, call the elders at a church, have them anoint you with oil. Well, yeah, maybe I gotta go up there. I mean, I gotta go up there, and this morning it's like Miss Laura's gonna have to put oil on my head and pray for me. Yeah, sometimes you need to do that. Listen, your heart is what really is important there. Whatever God has to do to get you outside yourself so that you can realize it's Him who's doing that, you know? The prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. Boy, that's amazing, right? Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. I was hoping for a little of that over the last couple of days. It's just like nonstop drizzly rain. Hasn't it been great? How many of you like it? At the same time, man, my poor nephew out in Denver, they hadn't had any snow since December 12th, and there were all those fires out there. But thank God he flew back home last night, Friday night, and they couldn't actually drive to their house because there was so much snow. So God sent the snow to put the fires out. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord, you know. So listen, I'm griping about the piddly rain we had here. Come on, just shut up, Dave. It's nothing, you know. We haven't had any weather here like the rest of the country's had, right? Seriously. Finally, Philippians chapter 4. You know, like when you, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor. I had this virus that was crazy, and then I had bronchitis. And so the doctor prescribed an antibiotic for me. And so the way my voice sounds, it's just the after effects of bronchitis. So, you know, it's not, don't worry, I'm not going to be contagious on you. But anyway, when you take a prescription, what are you supposed to do? Take all of it, especially if it's an antibiotic, right? And so how many of you are taking a regular prescription of something on a daily basis? Anybody in the room? Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot. So when you take that prescription, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you take it because you know you need it. It might be for, you know, your heart condition or diabetes or whatever the case may be. And so it's there to help you. And so this, Philippians 4, I believe is God's prescription for our lives. And so, like, if you could sort of stick this into a little bottle and make sure you do it every day, you'd be way better off, all right? And he says this in verse 4 of chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And so right there, it shows us that there needs to be, our approach to life has got to come from a perspective of rejoicing, you know? And so one of the people that really impresses me for doing that, when I was just starting out in ministry, Pastor Garman was the pastor here, and he lived in the parsonage, and we had a guest speaker here from India. He was one of the superintendents of the Indian Assemblies of God, Brother Jay Rosh. And so he came and he spoke, and then he was here. He was staying overnight, and I had to take him to the airport early Monday morning. So 5 a.m., I'm at outside the door there with my car, ready to take Brother Jay Rosh to Philly Airport. And so as soon as he gets into my car, the man is doing is he's just, oh, praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God for this day. I mean, this is what this guy's doing all the time. We're driving down the turnpike, and he's like, oh, look at this beautiful river. Oh, look at this pond. America's so blessed because you have these bodies of water. Oh, praise the Lord. Everything this guy saw, he's just rejoicing, you know? And so the reality is, listen, we have to learn how to rejoice in life. You know, if you learn how to rejoice, man, everything is just better, you know? And so Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, don't be such a you know, don't be so hard on people. Be gentle with everybody else. The Lord, why? Because the Lord is near. And he's with you. And he's not with you like making a list and checking it twice. That's not what he's doing. But he's with you. And you want him to act on your behalf. And so, man, when you're not rejoicing and you're not gentle with people, you know, I mean, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to work through us, you know? And then it goes on, verse 6, these verses that I know you love. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, that is so powerful because, listen, the reality is there's a lot of things in life to produce anxiety. A lot of things. And so Paul flippantly says, don't be anxious about anything. No, in other words, what are you going to do with your anxiety? What are you going to do with this? What are you going to accomplish with it? Listen, your worrying isn't going to change anything. So take that anxiety, instead of just worrying, instead of just, you know, running for another couple pills or whatever the case may be, instead of doing that, you take your requests to God, but you take them with thanksgiving. You don't be the one who's always going to God and saying, oh, God, this is so terrible, this is so terrible, this is so... Listen, of course it's terrible. And it's okay for you to let God know that, but when you focus on the terrible, you forget that God has broken through on your behalf so many times in the past. So let's say you're broke today. You got no money. You know, starting a new year off, no money. So when you pray, you just don't pray and say, God, I got no money. God knows you don't got no money. You're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. So what you do is when you pray, according to that verses that we read, what you do is you're like, Lord, you know I haven't got anything. The cupboard is bare, but I know you've done it before for me, Lord. You've made a way where there seems to be no way. You provided a pathway in the wilderness for me. Lord, you provided when there is no provision. You start to pray like that. Guess what it does? Not only does it free God up to work, but it changes your attitude. It changes you. And all of a sudden now you're speaking out in faith to God. Lord, I know you can do it. Lord, I know. Listen, I know that, you know, Brother John, he was dirt poor too. But somehow you made a way for him to make a way. If you could do it for Brother John, you could do it for me. Man, all of a sudden, you're speaking in faith now. You're living in faith. Man, God is going to do something in your life because you're not going to be in the way. When all you're doing is griping and complaining, you're like the children of Israel out in the wilderness. God may let you suffer for a little bit in that until you turn to him. Let him know, hey, God, I know I might be in a bad spot right now, but man, am I right, Bobby, right? You know, lost your job, most money you're ever making. Man, God, you still working at Chick-fil-A? Oh, God, I should probably ask that ahead of time. Man, all of a sudden he gets picked up, getting the same amount of money he was getting. In that first shift, he gets a raise. Listen, God is good, you know? And so, why are you full of anxiety? If you're prone to anxiety, and some of you are really prone to it, it's going to take some work. But man, there's hope. There's hope for you. And these verses give us a clue to that, you know? So this morning, as we go to the Lord's Supper, listen, let's cast some anxieties at his feet today. If you're here and you didn't get one of these as you came in, raise your hand. And one of our ushers will get you some. Anybody not get one? James, over here, Colin. We got a couple over on this side. Here as well, right? And so we can bring them in. I know, I see we got lots of people going to scatter for them now. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, this is a reminder for us. This is a reminder. I mean, I understand we're talking about prayer, but the reality is, listen, this reminds us today that the presence of Christ is with us. Yeah, and it's the only thing that Jesus has given us that's tangible in our faith. We could actually hold on to in our hands. You might say the word of God. Well, that's a stretch by saying that. This is a symbol of the presence of Christ in our lives. And what's beautiful is, like, you know, you'd have to present, like, identification to get one of these today. Like, we didn't check to see if you're paid up in your tithes to get this. You know, we didn't check to see that, you know, we didn't do a criminal background check on you, right? I mean, this is available for all. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's available for you. It's beautiful. It's a reminder that, listen, Jesus is available to all of us, and he's here, and his presence is just as free as this is for you. You know? Paul writes about that time in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "For I have received from the Lord that which also I've delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night he's betrayed, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, 'Take, eat, this bread is my body, which is broken for you, to do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken. And Lord, this bread that we hold in our hands today reminds us of what you've done for us. It also reminds us that, Lord, you promised to be with us. And so as we take this bread, we literally hold it in our hand. We possess this right now. It's been given to us, much as your body was broken for us. And so we thank you for your work that you've done on the cross. We thank you for the price you paid. And we receive this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Then in the same manner after supper, he takes the cup. And he says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, it says you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so those songs that we sang earlier this morning, man, they really talked about that return of Jesus. Let's not forget it. This cup reminds us that Jesus said, "Listen, I'm not going to drink of this cup again until I drink it with you in my kingdom." That day is coming. You know, it's going to be an awesome time to be able to drink that cup with him in his kingdom. But until that time comes, we drink it together in faith and with joy. And it's wonderful to share this moment with all of you, to be together to do this. It's an honor, and it's a wonderful experience to be able to share. Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed for us, Lord, for this cup that represents, Lord, your shed blood. Thank you. Thank you for dying for us, for shedding your blood, for fulfilling all of what God intended towards us, to restore us, to give us life. Thank you, Jesus. We receive this now with gladness and thanking you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the cup. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, as we finish up here in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to move together into some groups. Groups of two, three, four, five, whatever. I wouldn't go bigger than five if it's possible. Move together and let's just take a moment and just pray for each other. You might not feel comfortable praying out loud. Don't worry. Everybody in your group doesn't have to pray out loud. But somebody in your group pray out loud. So if you're in a group and both of you are like mousy and you don't want to talk, find someone else to bring into your group. Find somebody loud. If you don't know who they are, just look around. And let's pray for each other today before we go on this week of prayer. And listen, I wish you a very happy new year. I pray God's blessing on you. May the Lord be with you greatly through 2022. It's an honor to be here with you and to be able to share with you every week. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. Let's pray together before we go. And then once you're done praying, you're free to go today. May the Lord bless you. Get in groups, pray up together. You know what to do. God bless you.